When we exercise faith and believe and trust in God's word, all things are possible, as we hear from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
If you can believe, all things are possible. That's a very strong statement every Christian should be able to quote. If you believe, all things are possible. For what is impossible with man, it is possible with God. So don't ever forget that verse right there. If you simply believe, all things are possible for you. All things are possible for you.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Are you facing something right now in your life that you just can't see a positive outcome to? In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus says to us, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks find, and to him who knocks it will be opened." When we have issues facing us, we need to bring them to the Lord, who will give us wisdom if we seek him. This is part 3 of our message, See the Hand of God. Why not grab your Bible and let's join Mike as he continues our study in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9.
He called them, O faithless generation, and we realize there is something going on there. In verse 19, he gives a couple of quiet questions. It's not really loud, but if you look, it's kind of quiet in a way. How long shall I be with you? How long do I have to put up with you? I don't think he's saying that. But he's saying it in a way that's like just to them. How long, second one, shall I bear with you? And look at verse 22. If you, Jesus, if you can do anything, let's all read the rest of it out loud together, okay? Go ahead out loud. Compassion on us. And help us. Let's do it out loud all together. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can't do anything else, your guys couldn't do it, would you have compassion on us? Have you ever had God's compassion on you? I think most of you have, but maybe you take it for granted. But if anybody should be compassionate, you'd have to be the body of Christ. Most of the world, if they really understood and could see it living, I know that Gandhi would have become a Christian had he seen a real one, even though apparently for some time in London he lived with a Christian family. I think Karl Marx would have become a Christian also, and he also lived with Christian people. If they could have just seen a Christian, their minds were brilliant minds. They saw beyond what other people saw. But if they could have just seen a compassionate person that would help us, that's who you and I are. We are the hand of God. If there's anything you can do, the two major things we need done in our family is your compassion on us, and will you please help us? And Jesus will always say, yes. His compassion is unfathomable. A couple of weeks ago on the set at World News Briefing, there was a black, I thought it was a Bible at first, and Pastor Barry said, "This is a gift for you." And it was a black leather book of the Puritan devotions and prayers, which I really appreciate. But let me just read this little statement by one of these Puritans. "I am guilty, but pardoned. I am lost, but saved. I am wandering, but found. I am sinning, but cleansed." If you can do anything. And he said to him, well, in response to compassion and help, if you can believe, all things are possible. That's a very strong statement every Christian should be able to quote. If you believe, all things are possible. For what is impossible with man, It is possible with God. So don't ever forget that verse right there. If you simply believe, all things are possible for you. All things are possible for you. I've been inside of jungles, and I saw Jesus get us out of jungles. I've been in war zones. I've seen us get out of the war zones. I've been in bad neighborhoods and alleyways, and I've seen Jesus minister to who he wants. I've seen Satan worshipers in Mexico that were so frightened of Jesus that the glove that the guy was wearing that was the boss of the neighborhood that committed the murders and his gang was standing in the middle of the crowd. And we had people sitting by the hundreds on the roofs of all the warehouses on the other side of the street and hundreds in the streets. People were throwing things as you're talking to them about Jesus. And this gang comes through, and I was just briefed that there is a gang, and if they don't like it, they kill people in this street. And last week on the corner were three people murdered by this gang. This gang came walking in. Here came the arrogant gang leader with his big black glove, came up to about here, leather, with gold or silver spikes on it. And he'd hold that fist up, and all of his guys would just go nuts. And they were stoned. And they were starting to cause trouble. And the Lord said, just get bold with him. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, get out of here and take your little demons with you. And it was like a cannon went off, and boom, these guys just... all of a sudden, we're down the other block, away from everything. And when we're all through and gave an invitation, I had three or four people come. You're not going to believe this. You got to come over here. That gang had come back. I said, do we need the cops? What do we need? I said, no. The man was sitting down with the glove, and he said, I've killed people. I've murdered. I've raped. I sell drugs and everything in this this is my neighborhood. You come in with Jesus. And Jesus just knocked me down to the ground. And I want to ask his forgiveness. What am I going to do? He's going to kill me right now. And I said, wow, that's kind of interesting. So I sat down in the street with him. And there's a group of his guys around us. And there are two of his bodyguards. And their eyes were gone. It's about 11 o'clock at night by this time. And they were stoned. They were way out there. And they were killers. They're killers. And the Lord said, tell those two guys they're going to die within 10 minutes if they don't repent of their sins. You two guys are going to die within 10 minutes unless you repent of your sins. And don't do the tough stuff here because God's talking to you right now. And they looked at each other and didn't do anything. And this guy gets up and takes his glove off and says, I renounce Satan. I renounce the killings. I ask forgiveness in front of this crowd that Jesus will forgive my sins. And the Lord blesses this guy. He said, now there's a place around the corner here where they sacrifice children. I said, what? He said, yes, there's a star on the floor in this apartment building. A pentagram? Satanic? Yes, yes. And they bring children in there and they sacrifice them to him. I'll tell you what. I was feeling my oats at this time because the Lord was definitely with us. I said, if you're going to put us into a trap, you'll never walk again. I'm guaranteeing you. Some of the guys I have with me, they know how to handle themselves and how to handle you. So we went down there. And within 8 minutes, we're walking along, and the Lord said, turn around and tell that guy he's going to die in 3.5 minutes. So we walk a little further and tell him, you're going to die in 2 minutes. Those two guys both, by the time we got to that apartment, accepted the Lord. So we're walking up the stairs, and there's a graffiti, and it says, Carlos. And Carlos was a number one terrorist in the Middle East. I said, why would they be taken to a place where Carlos' name is? And I said, is this a trap? He said, no. They took us upstairs, cleared the hallway, and there it was in the room. There were no children in there, but you could see things had gone on in this room in that circle with the Satan star. And we all joined hands, the gang leader and everybody that was with me, a dozen of us. We got around that circle and we rebuked it. We rebuked the demons. We rebuked Satan. We rebuked the evilness in that apartment building and wickedness. And will all the murders stop in the name of Jesus Christ of children? And the teenagers are getting raped and beat up and drugged out. That's a great night. We were exhausted by the time it was over. But if you can do anything, could you have compassion? I'm sorry, I'm busy. Got to get going. Can you help us? I know somebody could. Call this church number. They'll help you. No, he's talking about you and me doing it. We are the body of Christ. It's you and me. We need to do the work. God's given us the gift and the power and his word. So in closing, this daddy is a great picture for us to see the hand of God working in the family. And what a sad thing for this family. If only I could believe. Help me in my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Notice the father, it says, he cried out with tears. It wasn't the faith of the son that believed. It was the daddy. And there are so many fatherless children that are in bondage tonight in Orange County. We should be ashamed as a church that that stuff goes on. So in closing, if anyone desires to be first, in verse 30, let him be last, and let him be the servant of all. He took a little child in his arms and held him, and he blessed him. And he said, receive these little children, and except you become like little children, you can't enter in to the kingdom of God. And if anyone would hurt these little children, it is better that a millstone is tied around their neck and they're cast into the sea and drowned. And you can go to the north, you can go to the northwestern corner of the Sea of Galilee and see, quote unquote, Peter's house and the synagogue that Jesus was teaching in, and you'll see many different sized millstones, from little ones, an individual that a family would have, up to 80 or 100 pounds. And if you turned around and saw, there's the Sea of Galilee, put one of these around your neck, you mess with a child, you're going to get it. And our government needs to put a stop to all this that's going on, and the lie and deception about the children separated from their families. That's all a lie. You're not getting the truth. Those children were brought here by weirdos. And the law went out before this president got in that if a man comes with a child to cross into the U.S., if he has a child, they have access to our country. Woe unto the least of anyone that would touch one of these children. It's better they commit a suicide, drown themselves out here in the sea. Judgment is coming to our country, and God has every right, because we're way beyond Sodom and Gomorrah in wickedness and in evilness. Many in those days will say, but Lord, Lord, we cast demons out in your name. We healed the sick. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. In the last days, people will have a form of godliness, but they deny the power to make them godly people. You don't want to play at this. The stakes are too high. Not just for the people that you may be deceiving or hurting, but for your own soul. This is a good night for us all to say, God, have compassion on us and help us and forgive us, that we would truly be the people other people think we are. And you need to quit saying, let's build our three little tabernacles, and it's good that we're here. And look at us. We were here with you. Thank God, he said, don't tell anybody until after I raise from the dead. They would have gone out and did flyers and all sorts. Hey, we want to do a special message tonight about the three tabernacles. We're going to take a little offering tonight for Elijah, Jesus, and Moses. No. You and I are the body of Christ. And the Bible says the bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. Are you preparing yourself? And are you making yourself ready for the return of the Lord? And is that all about me? Or is it about the multitudes that are like sheep without a shepherd? Shall we stand? And shall we pray? This is just a wonderful night for anyone that you want prayer. We're going to pray for you right now. You can just come up front. We'll pray with you. Whoever you are that's sitting here, one, two, or three, or six of you, that you know this is your night, that you've got to quit running. Stop running. Stop hiding. The night darkness is like day brightness to God. If soldiers and policemen can put on goggles that can see in the night, how easy it is for God to see us hiding. God, have mercy on our souls, we pray. Sometimes we get a little too religious for ourselves. And there's all these people around us, not just homeless people, but in the houses and the apartment buildings in the neighborhoods right next to us, let alone Newport Beach or Los Angeles. And for those that are in the Midwest, in Madison, Wisconsin, or Chicago, Illinois, there are people all around here that are so weak, they're just letting the devil take over this country and destroy the future by destroying the children and the teenagers. God, we have a war on drugs going for decades, and then all of a sudden we start legalizing drugs. It just doesn't make sense, does it? You're the only one that really has compassion. You're the one that can help us. And so this night we pray for anyone, wherever you are. You can send us a text or an email or call the radio station. Send something to Calvary Tustin. And let them know you're praying right now to give your heart to Jesus. And if you are somebody that is brokenhearted like this daddy who's talking to Jesus with tears over his son since his youth, you just cry out to the Lord right now. He will have compassion on you, and he will help, plural, us, your entire family. All of us that are here in this meeting tonight, we right now are going to focus on you that are out there that we can't see, that you'll answer the prayers of those out there, Lord. You've used us to be here to draw an audience outside, much like the crowds in the times of Jesus. And Lord, if we're hung up in the law, and you're trying to show us it's all about your grace and your goodness, then let the self-righteous, legalistic people repent tonight and just get right with you. Not always being right or dispensationalist or anti-tongues or pro-tongues or whatever the issues get to be. It's good that we're here because you're here. It's not good that we're here because we can see Elijah and Moses with Jesus. Lord, it's good that we're here because we do see you, Jesus. And we ask that you'll forgive all of our sins this night. We cry out to you right now. Have compassion on our sinful lives and hearts. Humble us, Lord. Let us humble ourselves that in due time, you'll lift us up. We'll get out of this cocoon and we'll have a brand new body. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem tonight. We ask you to give wisdom to our leaders. We pray for our country, Lord, that you have mercy on all the corrupt movies and television and magazines and newspapers and the filthy things that are acceptable in our society, the rottenness. God, please have mercy. Please. Let your Holy Ghost be poured out without any measure. We're willing here and those without. Bless your pastors, your shepherds, for there's multitudes of sheep wandering on the hillsides without shepherds. Lord, let the game of church disappear and let the church be these beautiful men and women that have been beaten up in this world. And they're bruised, and they're tired, and they're weary. But we're willing to get up again, Lord. We just need your power, your Holy Spirit, your word of truth, and your calling. There's nothing we can do without you. We need you. We need you in all the marriages represented tonight. We need strength for the young men with all the lustful things around them, the young women. Lord, we pray that you'll use us, not wanting to build something to remind people we were there, but we'll lay our lives down and let you fill our calendars. I pray you'll honor every dear soul that stands before you right now. I pray that you'll bless these men that have been tangled and ensnared looking at the wrong stuff, inappropriate things, and they'll be released tonight and be able to look at you, the most appropriate to look at, to view from every angle and every side, to see you in all the dimensions that you can take us into, from faith unto faith. Don't let us be selfish, Lord, no matter how young or old we are. But there are millions of people within 20 miles of us. They're going to burn forever in hell. And all we're asking is that you could give us the strength and the courage, the boldness, but also the humility and the meekness and the gentleness to go win these people, to win them through love. That if we've seen Jesus, Father, he said we've seen you. And they were first called Christians in Antioch. Little Christians, little Christs. If they've seen us, they've seen you. And if that's not true, we ask your forgiveness. The people will see Jesus in us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would baptize everyone here in the power and the presence of God, that you would just pour out your love upon us, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Lord, that you'd give us the power to be godly people, not just a form of godliness. Holy Spirit, come upon these men and women. Fall upon them as you did in the centurion's house. As Peter walked in and your spirit fell upon Cornelius, may you fall upon us. May you refresh us in your presence. May you show us compassion. And like that daddy with tears in our hearts and our eyes, we say, help us. Help us, Lord. We forget to turn to you so often. Forgive us. Help us. Father, bless these sons and daughters of yours. Let them realize they're very, very valuable. You paid a tremendous price for them. And help them not to listen to the negative talk of Satan and his minions, but let them feast their eyes on your word and the beauty of your holiness. Let their hearts melt like butter to fall in love with you all over again. Take the hardest people here tonight, which they don't look like a real rough group, but you know which hearts are the hardest. Melt them. Bring tears to our hearts, Lord, that we would weep over the lost. We'd weep over the bride who is so shallow. And God, that you would wake us up. Strengthen us through these trials and tribulations in carrying that cross, that we, like the butterfly, can spread our wings and reach out further from that tree branch and bring blessings wherever we turn and go. Like little boys and girls saying, Mommy, Daddy, there's a butterfly. May children know they can trust us. And may we tell the name of Jesus to them and to their mommies and daddies. And Jesus, thank you for your tremendous patience with us, your kindness, your goodness, your forgiveness, your mercy, your love. Let our light so shine that men will see our good works and give glory to you. Use us all, and may your kingdom come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
That's Mike McIntosh with the conclusion to our look at seeing the hand of God when we believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. No, He's not a magic genie or a cosmic Santa, but the Creator of everything. And He loves you very much and has an awesome plan for your life if you'll trust Him. Perhaps today's teaching has been especially valuable to you, and you may want more spiritual direction at this time. Let me suggest that you log on to our website and look under the Know God link to find immediate instruction on a number of fundamental spiritual issues. Just go online at mikemcintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we do covet your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us a chapter and verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's chapter and verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Next time, we'll continue our survey of Mark as we move to Chapter 10 with Mike McIntosh here on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.